Our monthly strolls by the mall was the only thing that ever gave me a sense of normalcy in my former life. Madame would dreamily and slowly walk by every store, contemplating the life she would never get close to live. We watched brand new toys, shiny bracelets, and a world of silk and wonder, a world that would never exist for people in our social standing. It took me a while to understand that the trips were for her own sake, not mine. Your daughter could be a model, you know. The smiling man approached us when we were having our ritualistic ice cream. We couldn't afford anything there, but they wanted a month's sweet treat. I'll admit, I have unique looks. My hair was always jet black, even as a child, contrasting with pale complexion and emerald eyes. I had, indeed, fantasized about being a model when I grew up, after seeing so many advertisements in the mall, all of them containing images of stunning ladies surrounded by perfume bottles and jewelry and dressed in daydreams. My husband, Mom started to shyly answer, but the man cut her off. He probably went through that dozens of times. Why don't I give you my card and you call me after your dad allows it? His smile grew wider, so wide you could see something underneath. But at 7 years old, I couldn't pinpoint what. She agreed. That night, I pretended to sleep and overheard them. How much did he offer you, Janet? Dad asked aggressively as usual. Nothing. She stuttered in his presence. She always did. He slammed his huge hands against the counter. You're lying. I know how those things work. I swear, Bradley, he just told me to call. So call him, damn it, just like that. What do you want me to say? We can't afford him anymore. I'm not even sure the damn prick is mine. He used to be quite the whore. I just had one other boyfriend before you, Brad. Her voice now sounded teary and hurt. It took me a few years to understand what he meant. The bastard. He looked exactly like him. They fell silent, so silent that I could hear Dad sipping from his bottle. Mom dared speaking. So you want to give her away? Another slam. Don't be dumb. He's talking about giving. We're selling it. But you know they probably will. That's none of my fucking business, Janet. Next morning, Mom asked me to wear my favorite dress and pack my best clothes. It was easy because I didn't have many that could be considered good. Where are we going, Mom? Modeling, she answered in a rushed tone, her smile faltering. We'll see that nice gentleman from yesterday. We took the bus because Dad didn't let her drive. Said she was too dumb for it. He, on the other hand, was almost always too wasted to control the wheel. Our dissident Chevrolet Vega sat in the garage collecting dust. Dad made sure to be there to see that Mom didn't hide any money from me. He didn't let her work, so he knew that if she handled the transaction alone, he would probably never see her again. Everything was quick. The gentleman was named Mr. Carson. His slightly chubby hand gave my parents a firm handshake, then handed me a lollipop. Took a few pictures of me, said everything was good, and gave the parents her money. It seemed to be more than they expected. Damn, so that's the price. We should make a new one, Dad said. His yellow fangs opening up in a smile for the first time in years. Mom bit her lip and buried her face on her only coat, a beaten-up pinkish parka. She stroked my hair, tearing it silently, and we parted ways. Mr. Carson took me to his house. His house was brand new, and he let me pick the song. The drive was so different from the ones with my parents. The songs were always filled with screams, Dad cursing at the other drivers, Mom begging him to not pick a fight, him telling him to shut up. He was in a really bad mood. He would lock me in my room and leave me without dinner because I was breathing too loud and couldn't hold back my tears while they fought. The place was a suburban, generic middle-class house, white picket fence style. It was gorgeous for a humble little girl like me. He barked. "What will do now?" Mr. Carson asked, afraid he would hate me for being snoopy. "Please call me Ted. I'm taking you to your room. Soon it'll be lunchtime, but I have a task for you first." I looked at him obediently. I left a videotape in the room's TV. "Please watch it, and during lunch, act like the girl you see. Got it?" "Sure, Ted." I was overjoyed my room had a TV. I diligently watched the tape. Then after around 2 hours, Ted took me downstairs to have a light lunch, consisting of sandwiches and soda. I did my best to imitate the girl. "You've done well, Delilah. This is your name now. Got it?" I nodded. "I don't remember the name I had before. I'll put on another tape for you, but you can use the afternoon to relax, too. Take a nap if you want. You'll have a lot of tasks tonight," he said, taking me back upstairs. That night, while I prepared for dinner, I was confident in my skills. Ted left me a brand new change of clothes and told me to dress up nicely. It was a special occasion. In the dining room stood an older lady. She was beautiful and looked remarkably like me. Her eyes sparked up when she saw me wearing a pretty tutu dress. "Delilah," she hugged me tightly, then still not letting go, stared at Teddy. "How did you do it? They're almost identical. I was lucky." Over dinner, they explained to me why I was there. Ted and Laura had a daughter named Delilah, who had 15. It's a painfully sad It was a painfully silly death. She insisted to go to a pool party and drown. Most people around were drunk teenagers, too drunk to help. Their world was destroyed. They couldn't accept there was a Roma trap, the light of their life. She was such a good girl, and now she has gone. She was gone by such a stupid reason. So they decided to look for a new one, a girl that looked like the original, Delilah, and could mimic her demeanor. They were so good to me. They were loving me to bits, and Ted spoiled me rotten. I was a true princess, living a more make-believe life. I went to a great school. We had amazing family trips together. My toys and clothes were always the best, the trendiest, the coolest. It was easy to become their perfect daughter once I practiced a little. Lila never had to beg for a cup of water to be trapped inside a dark closet because she was into TV too loud. As long as I learned everything about the original Lila and could act like her, I was her. The world was mine until I turned 12. Then Laura said they needed to talk. I was ready to be sent home to the horrible, hopeless life I had before. You know Delilah, our other Delilah, was perfect. She had a serious problem with her. She grew up. She grew apart from us. If she never insisted on making her own decisions on going to that damn party, she would still be here with us. Ted was grinding his teeth. We can't let that happen to you. I admit, I thought they would kill me to preserve my youth and innocence, but Ted had other plans. Your father is a very good scientist. He can fix you. I can set to still observe what needs to be fixed, but I wanted to be with them, and I want them to be happy. The three of us went to the basement, and Ted wired up me to his machines. You'll be young forever, my Delilah. Let's hope it works this time, Laura added uneasily. Last thing I remember before being hit by a bolt of endless pain was understanding that there were other surrogate Delilahs before me. I thought I would never speak again from the pain. I felt my bones shattering into a million pieces and reforming back all wrong. Rinse and repeat. My body was an endless puzzle consisting of a billion pieces that nothing could be put back together. My limbs literally swam in a pool of despair, metallic despair. It was my own blood. I was nothing but a pile of organic matter for days, as much as a daughter as I was a guinea pig, floating infinitely, floating in his lab fluids, until somehow everything was summed again. I woke up in my bed, but both Laura and Ted were by my side. It was a sharp pain in the back of my neck, but other than that, nothing at all. They kissed my hair, begged for forgiveness, and asked how I was. I was, as crazy as it sounds, fine. Hours of infinite aching were distant now, almost like they happened to somebody else. I ran my fingers through my neck and felt something different there. I asked if they could see anything. Ted gasped. It's a new bone. The little one was small but shaped like a thorn. It pricked my finger but didn't really hurt me. 2 years went by. While the other girls my age were quickly growing up in height and shape, I never fully developed into a teenager. It was clear that something was different with me. Ted and Laura were overjoyed to notice I was still childish in mindset and looks. It had worked, after all. I didn't mind it. Maybe puberty was nice to others, but not to most. A lot of my classmates had awful breaks of acne and talked in irregular, weird tones of voice. One girl even had a boob way bigger than the other. I was happy being a child instead of a teenager. Others weren't so happy. Well, why the hell is your looks don't change? Are you a fucking witch? It was Sandy, the tallest girl in class. She was a troublemaker, and she had picked me as a target because I was too short and my skin was too clear. I just tried to unleash my arm from her. I swear I don't like fighting, but I ended up crumbling her ulna and radius. Happened in an instant. It was so crazy. I merely grabbed her wrist and felt everything inside collapsing. Sandy cried desperately, her arms swollen and looking like rubber while shards of bones ripped from skin. It was nauseating seeing what was left of her bloody mass of bones. Nobody understood what happened, and everyone ruled out as impossible that such a small girl could cause this damage to a strong and tall bully. The school nurse called the hospital while saying that Sandy must have fallen in a weird way. That day, I felt someone like structure in my neck burning like crazy. When I told Ted, he took me to lab to perform a few tests. It appears that as a side effect, you become extremely strong, he said after a few hours. Why didn't I crumble anything else before? I asked. How did you feel when this girl Sandy tried to pick a fight with you? Very annoyed. Well, then your strength is probably triggered by negative emotions. I considered the information for a few seconds. It made sense. My life was so perfect that ever since I underwent the procedure to stay young forever, I never had a bad experience, or at least not the kind that would make me easily break something as sturdy as a human bone. A few weeks after we discovered my superhuman anger strength, I finally understood that Dad thought he was selling me to be to prostitution, and he was totally okay with it. After hitting my mother in ways I'll never know and understand, after hitting me and starving me over nothing, he thought that handing a 7-year-old his only daughter to an unknown man was perfectly normal. If she was going to be sexual and safe, it was none of his business. This thought made me feel very annoyed. Just ringing the doorbell of my former home. Who would believe that a teenager too small for her age could turn a grown man's limbs to dust? r/nosleep.